السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله، أما بعد. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد ورضوان من الله أكبر، وقال تبارك وتعالى ولذكر الله أكبر، وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من قام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه، ومن قام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والتسليم. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. My most beloved ulama ikram, elders and brothers, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our creator, our nourisher, sustainer and provider. Peace and salutations be upon our beloved master Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, it is the mercy and the favor and the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has allowed us to reach this far in the month of Ramadan, today being the 25th of Ramadan already. If you haven't as yet realized, I'm just thinking the other day, I was saying Ramadan is going to start, a few days for Ramadan to start, and we already now 25th day of Ramadan, today is the 25th, we got definitely 4 days left, perhaps 5 days left, because if tomorrow is the Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, is definitely Ramadan. Wednesday now we're not sure of it, depending on whether the moon is sighted or not. Then if Wednesday is still one more day of Ramadan, alhamdulillah, and then Thursday will be Eid. So we got 4 days definitely, fifth day possibility of still for the day of Ramadan. Now if you look at it, 25 days has passed already, and the iftar this evening will be 25 days completed. It is very, very important for us to retrospect, introspect, and to check now so many days of Ramadan has passed already. And before Ramadan had set in, we were speaking about Ramadan coming, and what is the purpose of fasting, what we want to achieve when we're fasting. Alhamdulillah, every day, and programs have been taking place on Sundays, and the evenings after Taraweeh Salah, and all that is taking place, and we have been fasting every day, waking up for Sehri, and iftar, and performing Taraweeh Salah, and Tilawat of Quran, and Sadaqah, and Zakat, and charities we have been giving. Alhamdulillah, may Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala accept all our good actions. May Allah Ta'ala make it a means of our scale of good deeds being weighty on the day of Qiyamah, and inshallah make it a means of our eternal salvation. But what we have to make sure and check, and each one sitting here has to do it individually, is to see and do an audit of our own lives. You see, these 25 days have passed. Has my greatest objective of fasting and doing all this ibadah is to develop a relationship and a bondage and a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Has that increased? Or is it just that I'm going through the motions, I've fasted and mashallah, Taraweeh Salah, and I don't feel any type of relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increasing? Has there come in my life a firm resolution? Have I made a determination that now the bad habits that I was engaging before Ramadan during the course of these 25 days, now I've already made a resolution and a firm intention that now I gave up those bad habits, those evil ways and whatever gunas and sins that are involved in, I gave them up, and firm resolution. Yes, we are human beings. You can't slip up again. But up till this point, as it is, the 25th, as it stands right now, I have made this firm revolution. If you haven't done these things, then there's a possibility that we have fasted, but the only benefit we have achieved through fasting is we just stayed hungry. As we mentioned previously, رُبَّ صَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صِيَامِهِ إِلَّا الْجُوءِ. Many people will be fasting, and the only outcome and objective and benefit of fasting they have achieved is to stay hungry. وَرُبَّ قَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ قِيَامِهِ إِلَّا التَّعْبِ. And many people, they perform the salah, 20 rakats, mashaAllah, But the only thing they got is tired knees, paining up and down, or maybe another benefit, they stayed a week. Yes, inshallah, you absorb the responsibility. Alhamdulillah, you tick the box, absolved. Fast has been done, Taraweeh has been done. But the true essence and objective and the purpose behind these actions, am I achieving that? And that is developing a bondage with Allah, removing the evil qualities and the habits that we had in our life. Have I achieved that? People are sitting for itikaf. Alhamdulillah, may Allah Ta'ala accept it. A great benefit, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to always sit for itikaf. Great sunnah, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And we know the virtues that the person who sit for itikaf, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala will make between him and the fire of Jahannam. Three massive trenches. That means he will be distant from the fire of Jahannam. But again, sitting for itikaf has a greater goal and objective, and that is to get Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. In fact, when the last 10 days of Ramadan had commenced, we always have been hearing and reading that each one of the odd nights has the possibility of being Laylatul Qadr. Allah knows, it perhaps could be finished already, we don't know. 21st is done, 23rd is done, 25th last night is completed. We still have opportunities. Don't become despondent. We still have 27th night, which is tomorrow night, and we have the 29th night, which is then on Monday night. But it doesn't mean the odd nights, then we overlook the even nights. We don't take it as important. Each one of these nights, inshallah, we should try and give it importance. Maybe the odd nights a little bit more importance, but now we shouldn't become complacent and maybe relax now and do something else and see right now it's an even night now, so I won't worry about it. Only odd nights I'll get myself more geared up, a little bit extra. So we got these opportunities, let us not lose the momentum. Actually, we need to step up the pace. Maybe the example comes of a person that's running a marathon or maybe a race. So you're running a 100-kilometer race or you're running a marathon, now you have to go 20 times around the stadium, 400 meters, or you're running whatever, a couple thousand kilometers. Now when you go first, you sort of pace yourself well. But when you're coming towards the ending, now you have to step up. So you have to preserve some energy. When you come to the last lap, you come to finish, actually you need to push more. You need to keep up the pace, you push more towards the ending, so that we can finish the race actually ahead of everybody else. Or if you use the other example, if you want to find water, right? And they say water is 100 meters underground. Let's say you're digging a borehole, and the water is 100 meters. So you don't know, so you're digging, and you carry on 50 meters, 70 meters, 80 meters, then you start thinking to yourself, hey, now, how much I'm going to do now? It's coming, and you, right when you came by 98 meters, 99 meters, you say, right, I'm packing up, now finish. And you leave it. What happens? That just one more meter was left, and you would have reached the water. And you would have got a whole, mashallah, nice flow of water, fresh, pure water would have come on from you. But now when you came in 99 meters, you stopped and you gave up. So now we came 25 days so far, alhamdulillah. We have been keeping up the momentum and the pace, and we have been digging, mashallah. Now we got the last few days left, 4 days, 5 days left. Let us not lose the momentum and the benefits and the opportunities and the rahmat that is still there. What happens is sometimes also we get carried away with this whole Eid chakkar now. We say right now Eid is round the bend, Wednesday is Eid. So it automatically there's like a sort of a shift in the focus now, and the importance of Ramadan then comes out. It's still till the moon of Eid is not sighted, the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are still open. We still have to keep collecting and taking from these treasures. It is still carry on, the sale is still on. It's still opportunity for us to get more and more investment. So because of Eid now, preparation for Eid, and getting the gulab jambu and sutar finni and all the barfi and everything in place now, what happens, and the clothing and the garb and all of those things, and the ladies at home also, the fikr goes. It's a day of rejoicement, no doubt. It's a happy occasion. But the point is, let us not lose focus and our mind shift away from the balance of the days that we still have of Ramadan. Each one of these days and moments are very crucial and important moments that we have. May Allah make it easy for us and give us the tawfiq of benefiting, maximizing these opportunities that we have. what I wanted to also a little bit focus on in the business world, we have something which is called a SWOT analysis, S-W-O-T. In the business circumstances, in the environment, in the corporate world, what they do is, if they want to, if they see that they want to go into some new venture, or there's some problems that they have, so what they do is they collect all the people who are crucial role players, instrumental stakeholders, and they sit down and they do a SWOT analysis. A SWOT analysis will be, they say, okay, these are our strengths, right? S for the strengths. Then on the other side, they'll say, these are our weaknesses. And then the O, which is the SWOT, the O is the opportunities we have. And then the T is the threats that we have. And when they sit down and they analyze and they do a retrospection and they come to a conclusion to say, these are our strengths, okay, we need to harness that. These are the weaknesses, we need to sort of see how we can eliminate those weaknesses and what opportunities we have. So they look at ways now we can grab those opportunities, and the threats that perhaps to the business, how we can eliminate those threats or how we can work around those things. And they come up with some final point, and then they work to set a goal going forward, a strategy going forward, okay, in this long term, 5 years or maybe 10 years, this short term we can do this, long term we can do that. And then they keep evaluating. Now what we need to do, each one of us sitting here, as far as our deen goes, because remember Ramadan and fasting in the month of Ramadan is all about us getting the relationship and connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to get the closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There has to be a change in our whole approach and our mindset and our condition of our heart, cleanliness of our heart, purification of our heart, right? Our whole attitude and behavior, our akhlaq, our conduct, our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to come par excellence, has to improve and increase, be more better. Our relationship with human beings, hukukul ibad, is that we went through this whole training exercise, this whole development period we're going through in this month of Ramadan. So now we have to sit down, maybe in the context, the ulama will use the word like a muhasaba and a muraqaba or something. We sit down and we need to introspect. And each one, alhamdulillah, we can go to the ulama and sit in a majalis and benefit from those things. They are there to guide us, to give us the direction to say, okay, if you want to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is how we're going to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we sit in their company, alhamdulillah, to get more and more inspiration and directives. But ultimately, it is the individual. It is between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he has to sit down and make the decision. Otherwise, even if you're sitting in the company of the sheikh, or you're out in a part of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then the environment will have an influence, an effect on you. The talks of the sheikh, mashallah, and the ulama will have an effect. But you have to have that resolution and the determination as an individual. And it has to do a lot to do with yourself and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A relationship between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like now sitting here, two people sitting next to each other, we can't judge, we don't know what is the condition of a person's iman and the level and the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's no tool, there's no barometer, a thermometer, or something you can say, right, put this in your mouth, we take it and say, yeah, your iman is gone so high, and your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increased, and your power now was 10% battery life you had, now your iman level is 100%, 25 days you fasted, and so much of charity you did, so much of tarawih and khatam, there's no barometer, no thermometer, there's no tool of this world that you can use it. Or there's no tool to say, alright, mashallah, now you are involved in this gunas and sin, that you made a firm resolution to stop and abstain and come into a straight, mashallah, life and rectify your life. So now you got some tool of this world, or somebody can check, go to a doctor, maybe put that on your chest and listen. You can't. There's nothing like that. It's spiritually important for us to understand that. It's fundamentally important to understand the role of the spiritual connection and the bondage we have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So each one of us sitting here, we have to see, in my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how much has it increased? And then, in my relationship with fellow human beings, with my employees, with my employers, with my customers, with my family members, my wife and my children and my neighbors, And everybody goes, has that improved by me fasting? I had to go through the exercise. Has made a difference. The consciousness of Allah has come such and has soaked into my body in such that I can see there's a noticeable difference in my salah. It's not like I was reading salah on the 1st of Ramadan and 25 days of Ramadan has passed and my salah is still at the same. There's no sweetness and enjoyment of salah that I'm getting. The relationship with people, 1st of Ramadan came, I was abusive and I wasn't worried about my relatives. I haven't spoken and to my brother and auntie for years now. 1st Ramadan, 25 Ramadan is gone. That relationship is still the same. I'm still cut off. I still don't worry about them. And I still ill-treat my employees and my employers. I still am usurping the trust of people. Then there's something wrong about the 25 days of fasting. We went through this whole course, but it's not having the desired impact and effect. So therefore, each one of us sitting here should do this type of self-introspection. Nobody can change you if you don't have that the desire within you. People, as I said, can guide you, they can keep motivating you, encouraging you, but the willpower comes from an individual. You have to make the change from yourself. And it's very easy for us to blame everybody else and to want to change the whole world and want to see the change in everybody else. But us ourselves inside, we're not making firm resolutions. We're not determined to make the change ourselves. Then how is that going to happen? It's like the example that we mentioned previously. The person wanted to change the whole world. You think the whole world is corrupted. The whole world has all the problems. You want to change the whole world. When you saw the dynamics and how much it requires, you say, no, it's impossible for me to change the whole world. I can't do that. Then you say, okay, let me change Africa. The whole world is too big. I'll take one continent. Maybe I'll change all the corrupt governments there and all the issues that are taking place. When you saw how many countries there are, and you're always going to go to Senegal and Egypt and Tunisia and Zimbabwe and all that, say, well, it's too much for me. All right, let me take South Africa, I'll change all South Africa. When you saw the 50 million South Africans and all the political parties and all the drama that goes there, you say, impossible. I'm going to change all the stories there. Then you say, okay, let me change KwaZulu-Natal. You see, that also impossible. This part of southern, eastern, all the different parts of KwaZulu, impossible. So let me change Durban. Maybe it's small, it's narrowing it down. Then say, oh, let me change my whole street. Then you say, they're all impossible. I can't, too much. Say, let me change my whole family. They all are corrupted, they all got issues. Let me change all of them. Then maybe all of them come right. Then, and alhamdulillah, I'll come right. Ultimately, it came to the point that I can't even change my own wife and my children. I can change what I can change myself. I can make a difference in my own life, firstly. If I change myself, if I understand the importance and the role of myself, making effort and understanding what I need to do, what is my priorities, and, you know, getting connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I can do, if I change myself, then inshallah, that will have an influence and impact on my family, which will then have an effect and influence in my community and my town and inshallah the whole world. But what we are doing, we're spending all our energies and times and worrying about everybody else's problems and what's happening in there. We are neglecting and we are not giving the priority and understanding that it starts from me, myself and I must try to see how much of difference and how much of closeness and proximity I can get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to sit down and do this analysis. So you sit down and you say, right, my strengths, right, we do the SWOT analysis for yourself. You need to take on paper, you draw a line like a square, right, like a cross, and you make these four quadrants, these four parts, and you say on the one side, this is my strength, alhamdulillah, my strength, I got a supportive family, mashallah, masjid is close to my house, mashallah, I don't have I got access to ulama, so these are the strengths. Then you say, right, what are my weaknesses? My weaknesses is maybe now I get spend too much of time on my cell phone, I got bad company, that's my weakness, or maybe some bad habits. Again, it's not for anybody else, it's for your own self. Then you look at the opportunities you have. Alhamdulillah, I got opportunities still. I'm still young, alhamdulillah. Allah knows best how long I'm going to live. Oh, I still have some life. I got opportunities of growth, developing my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or maybe my opportunities, I can learn to improve the quality of my recitation of Quran. Maybe my weakness is I'm a bit of a stingy type of a person. So now I've got opportunity and maybe to convert that into a strength, and how I can open up and become more generous. That's each one. Or maybe my weakness is I cannot control my tongue. Vulgar words just keep flowing. And every second word is some flowery words that keep coming out of my mouth. The flowery words coming out of my mouth all the time. That's a weakness. Now how will I now make that, convert that, and remove that? So each person sitting here, maybe a weakness is I listen a lot to ghibat, or I thrive on listening to people's stories, carrying tales. So these are all the spiritual sicknesses. You list down and you think about it, and it is fall in the category of weakness. Now you need to sit down and see, okay, you cannot fix all one time. And maybe you might not even know how to fix it yourself. That is where now we need the guidance. Because if you got some weakness, a medical weakness, you won't go to a book and see, alright, let me open this medical journal and see, right, this sickness and treat yourself. Some small thing, maybe you can make a plan. But usually you need to get some expert opinion. So now you see, okay, I got anger problem. I can't keep living and justifying it. I'm going through the whole spiritual exercise in this month of Ramadan, and I haven't learned how to control my anger. So next week will be Eid, Ramadan will be finished, and I'm still same, I'm still vulgar and rude, I'm still abusive at home, I'm still talking to my employees anyhow. I can't see any difference in my salah. And then these weaknesses, they become even more greater weaknesses. So we have to go through this exercise, see how I can convert and change these weaknesses to make them into strengths. And these opportunities I have of growth. So many opportunities we don't have, alhamdulillah, summa alhamdulillah. In South Africa, in Durban, we don't have any shortages, alhamdulillah, of masajid, of ulama, madrasas, for our spiritual growth. I'm talking about our spiritual dimension and growth. So you analyze and you saw these are your strengths. Then you said, okay, these are your weaknesses. You wrote it down. You thought about it if you don't want to write it down. And these opportunities I have. And then you look at the threats. The threats that, what are the threats that you have in your life? Maybe your family is, the environment is not good. That is a threat to you remaining and your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remaining strong. Your wife and your children, the mindset and the mahal at home is not made. Now how are you going to convert that and change that threat? Because that's a threat to you in the sense that now they can influence you. Now tomorrow your son or daughter is getting married. You want to do everything according to the sunnah. You spend i'tikaf, mashallah, you fast Ramadan, everything. But now when you go back, the environment is not made. Now it's a threat. So your son or daughter is getting married, you do everything according to sunnah. They say, what are you talking about? We want to have everything open, mixed gathering, music, everything must happen. And the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are all violated. How are you going to now convert that? What do I need to do? So now you take guidance from what the ulama are saying. Now maybe let me try and do maybe talim. I can't go and tell them, just boss them and give them direct commands, because then it's not the way of the sunnah. Even the way of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, when you wanted to change conditions, there's an environment. You have to create, slowly work on that. So how are you going to now create that environment at home? So maybe start talim in your house. 1 minute, 2 minutes talim in your home. And you listen, the barakah of recitation of hadith, the barakah of tilawat of Quran, translation and story of sahaba, inshallah that environment will become more conducive. So these are the threats. Now again, you need to then make a list. What are the threats to my connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So central, the objective, the purpose of this whole SWOT analysis that I'm talking about, that we need to do of our own spiritual development, is to get connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is waridwanu min Allahi akbar. The greatest thing we're trying to achieve is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What you're trying to achieve is to get connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise it will be like we took our charge, our phone battery, let's say it was on 0% in the middle of when Ramadan started. Now you put our charger into the plug point, 25 days it was charging. So it should be now some 50%, 60%, 70% charged now, spiritually. But now if it was, something was faulty with the charger, you can see it's still zero. Or maybe there's ESCOM, there's no power that's coming, there's something wrong if that power hasn't increased in that cell phone battery life. So if us, first day of Ramadan to 25 days of Ramadan, if the objective of fasting was to get taqwa, to get proximity and closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to get enjoyment and sweetness in our salah, in tilawat of Quran, If I'm not fighting all of that, then it's like same 0% still. How are we blaming ESCOM for the faulty charger? Then it's like that. We are not getting the benefit of the purpose of fasting in this month of Ramadan. So we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, each one of us, take out the last few moments that we have to do this introspection and to make an effort, inshallah, to get connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we get enjoyment from obeying Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Like the dua goes, Allahumma habib ilayna al-iman wa zayyinhu fi qulubina. Wallah, let iman become beloved to us. And let it become beautified in my heart. Beauty, enjoyment, sweetness, love and obedience of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Wa karrih ilayna al-kufra. And wallah, let disobedience and sin become hated and detested. If you use that as our criteria to see, mashallah, I hate doing the sin now, I'm fasting 25 days, inshallah. If human beings make a mistake, make tawbah again, then that will be something that we have achieved. And just to conclude, it's still a possibility of Laylatul Qadr. We shouldn't, as I said, I'm just for the benefit of those that walked in a little bit late. We still got 4 days of Ramadan or 5 days of Ramadan. Let us not lose the momentum. Keep the momentum up, inshallah. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anna. Prophet ﷺ taught that if it's Laylatul Qadr, we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a bounty of Allah. One night's ibadah is more than 83 years of ibadah. Laylatul Qadri khayrum min alfi shahr. So it could be tomorrow night, it could be on Monday night, so let us make sure we seize that opportunity that we have. And also, the night of Eid, the night preceding Eid. If it is Eid on Wednesday, then Tuesday night. If Eid is on Thursday, then Wednesday night is known as Laylatul Ja'iza. It is a night of prize giving. Again, yes, sometimes we get carried away because we see like as though it's a whole bodge, a pressure out of my head now, fasted 29 days, and we get carried away with all the merrymaking enjoyments of the day of Eid. The night of Eid is a very important day. The Prophet said that person will keep the night of Eid alive. Allah will keep his heart alive on the day when hearts are dead. So it's also a night of ibadah. The Laylatul Jaiz, a prize-giving day. It's a night where Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives certificates of his pleasure and freedom from the fire of Jahannam. And then subsequently, whenever it's a day of Eid, let's try. We fasted 29 days, 30 days to get obedience of Allah in our life and to dislike any other culture and lifestyle. So we, in our homes, the day of Eid is a day of enjoyment, rejoicement, and enjoying and rejoicing does not mean we must break the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can we make Rahman this unhappy and making Shaitan happy on the day of Eid when a whole month of Ramadan, our whole objective was to get Rahman, to get Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives. So certain things and things, maybe it's some cultural things or family traditional things, that we may be engaging in, with lots of hikmah. Let's try and do everything as close as possible in a way that is pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from the sunnah practices of the day of Eid, read it up, simple sunnahs of going to the Eidgah, going early as possible, going one road, coming from the other road, the way that we're going to be dressing on the day of Eid. Let's try and do according to sunnah. MashaAllah, lovely kurta you're wearing, but it's been below your ankles. So small adjustments, getting the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Our women folk at home, guide them. MashaAllah, we fasted 29 days and 30 days is to get close to the sunnah of the Prophet's teachings. To that to come alive. Now, how can we be dressing in a way where there's a big slit, you can see your whole legs, or your body, your arms are transparent, or your hair is all open. You're wearing such clothes that you can see the figure of your body. So these are opportunities. Then on the day of Eid, we're having functions, alhamdulillah, it's a good opportunity for families to get together and mashallah to enjoy the bounties of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But now if you're doing it in a way that you're breaking all the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it's not a good thing that we are doing. Then subsequent to the day of Eid, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that that person who fasts in Ramadan, فَأَدْبَعَهُ بِسِتِّ شَوَّال, that you fast in the month of Ramadan, and then you follow it up with 6 fasts of Shawwal. Although it's not necessary to keep it consecutively immediately after Eid, you can keep it any time in Shawwal, even one, and like that, as long as it's kept in Shawwal. The benefit of that is kana kasriyamid dahr, is like you have fasted the entire year. Easiest is whilst we are in that momentum of fasting, you're not allowed to fast on the day of Eid. It's haram, it's prohibited to fast on 5 days of the year, the 2 Eids and 3 days after Eid al-Adha. So you can't fast. That's the day of enjoying the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, now you go eat, Allah is telling you not to eat. It's haram to eat. On the day of Eid, it's haram for you to fast. So the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time should be in front. So 6 fasts of Shawwal, try and keep it inshallah, the benefit of it as though we have fasted the entire year. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of practicing wa akhiru da'wana. And alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.